The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Please welcome Mr. Freds.
What is going on, peeps? Welcome to episode 142 of the Fretzelmania podcast. I am the North American treasure, your second favorite Canadian, Mr. Fretz. Today, I am finishing my top 10 matches of 2023 with Fretz's Fave 5. My top 5 matches, if you will. There's some really, really good ones in here, folks. My first five from 10 to 6 were very hard to put in this order. And these ones were no different. Starting right away with number 5. Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus in a steel cage match from Payback in September. Now, Trish here at 47 years old, which, to steal a line from Mr. YLP, I am just a man. I am merely just a man. I mean, 47, Trish Stratus, like a fine wine, like a nice scotch. Still looking damn good. And she was on her classic heel run here that, you know, she did late in her initial run in the WWE. Trish Stratus is a phenomenal heel. She is great at being that bit. Just turn that up to 11. Phenomenal stuff here. And she has been having problems with Becky Lynch since, I believe, this was another following WrestleMania heel turn where you're setting up your program for the rest of the year. Now, Trish Stratus has taken a young, and I use that term loosely because she doesn't look young, Zoe Stark. All the grandma's Zoe jokes, she's 29. Life is not fair. I mean, I would think that Trish was still in her 20s and Zoe is in her 40s. The jokes end here, just, but they're still funny. Still love you, Zoe. She's awesome. So we had a bunch of black exploders. We had Stratus dodging a clothesline, Lynch countering into a leg drop. And as Stratus climbed the cage, Lynch stopped her and delivered a powerbomb for a two count. And as Becky attempted the manhandle slam, Stratus countered into the Widow's Peak, just giving us an homage to the great, the legendary Victoria, friend of Nate the effing great Victoria. Nate, how? I mean, I know how, because of Melina and Sol Calvel, but bro, go to his archives and listen to some of those shows that he did with those ladies. They go off the rails quicker than a Game Changer podcast, I'll tell you what. So as Trish is attempting the Stratus faction, Lynch countered it with grabbing her crop. Nope, that was Mickey James. A twist of fate for a near fall. You know, Stratus gets the Stratus faction, but Becky kicks out. And as Becky attempts an avalanche manhandle, Trish Stratus blocks it into an avalanche Stratus faction, which should have won that match, but it did not. We get a superplex by Becky from the top of the cage. Just these two putting their bodies on the line for this match. Phenomenal. Stratus attempts to escape through the cage door, but out comes Zoe Stark to assist her mentor. Lynch stopped her and hit a manhandle slam onto Trish, and Zoe breaks up the pin. And then Lynch gets the manhandle slam onto Stark and an avalanche manhandle slam onto Trish to win this match. Afterwards, Trish got pissed and told Zoe to exit the cage. Zoe refused to listen and delivered the Z360 onto Trish and then did the old Irish goodbye. See you later, Trish. I believe that we're setting up this kind of match for maybe Mania or maybe another undercard PLE match down the line. Hey, maybe in Perth. I would love to see Trish versus Zoe because those two would put on a damn good match. Number four was really tough where I was going to put this match. Actually, the rest of this countdown is going to be that. From number four to number one, I scratched out and put all these matches in different order, and it was hard. But there was one reason, and one reason only, I have this match so high on my list. And that is the story. A story that dates back to the summer of 2022. It's the main event of WrestleMania Night 1. The Usos versus KO and Sami Zayn. A feud that goes back to, well, as I said, last summer, where Sammy was trying to get in the good graces of the Tribal Chief and would do anything to get into the bloodline. Are you feeling Usy? We had Sammy Uso. Sammy became a full-blown Us after War Games, where it was like KO and the Brawling Brutes versus the Bloodline. Sammy proved his loyalty here. And then we got to the Royal Rumble with Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens. A match that almost cracked my top 10, but because there was so much damn good wrestling on this year, I had to kick it off the mountain. You had Sami Zayn refusing to hit his friend because deep down, Sammy still loves Kevin Owens. And despite the fact he proved his loyalty to the bloodline, he was starting to cross a line after the war that KO and Roman had at the Rumble. It's like, here, you do it. And the scream from the crowd when Sammy connected with the chair to Roman's back is one of the loudest pops I have ever heard on TV. And I was at a PLE this year, and it could even rival that. You had Sammy getting ousted from the bloodline, him crying, begging for help from Kevin Owens. And Kevin is just like, fuck you. Not happening. No. You screwed me. And now I'm just going to let you wallow in your own self-pity. I'm going to let you clean up this mess yourself. Yes, eventually KO came to his senses and was like, basically like, okay, bro, I'm giving you one more chance. If you this up, we're done. Like, for good. You get everything that happened leading up to WrestleMania. Everyone hoping that a tag team title match with main event night one. You got your wish. And it is only the second time in WrestleMania history where a tag team match, playa-playa, would main event the show. And you all know what the first one is, right? Yeah, we're going back to 85 when Mr. Fretz was barely a year old. Mr. T and Hulk Hogan versus Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. We had Jimmy Snuka. We had Bob Orton in the corners of their respective mentors. And this match here with Hope spots after Hope spot with finisher after finisher, it was as an emotional roller coaster as the Sami Zayn and Bloodline feud was. Like, just before WrestleMania, we had a pit stop in La Belle Province in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, where Sami Zayn attempted to dethrone the tribal chief, but was unsuccessful in utterly heartbreaking fashion in one of the best crowds of the year, other than Puerto Rico. Phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. So you had a 1D for a near fall. We had the Exploder suplex into the corner. We had Owens with the pop-up power bombs on both Usos. That allowed Sammy to hit the Huluva kick to Jimmy. Owens gets the stunner to Jay for a near fall. Closing moments here. Owens gets the stunner to Jimmy. Sammy gets 3 Huluva kicks. And they win the tag team titles, ending the historic reign of the Usos as undisputed tag team champions. Well, SmackDown tag team champions side of them ended at 622 days. Historic. As a result of this win, Kevin Owens became a Grand Slam champion. The first Quebec-born Grand Slam champion in history. And Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are also the first Quebec-born wrestlers to win the tag titles since the Quebecers, you know, were not the Mounties, Jacques Rougeau and PCO 30 years ago. WrestleMania 10, we had the Quebecers walking in as tag team champions against Men on a Mission. And here we are at WrestleMania 38. And we have two brand new Quebecois to represent La Belle Province. Magnifique. Phenomenal stuff here. I love this match. I absolutely love this match. I mean, I think a lot of us were hearing and maybe a little weepy because of the whole story. Wrestling tells a beautiful story. And this one was no different. My number three match, however, I wouldn't say it was story. It was just a freaking phenomenal match. And it was the main event of AEW New Japan Forbidden Door. Again, that I attended live. My first ever PLE. I attended it with my longtime friend, my good brother, Ryan Williams, whom I've known since the first day of grade 9 at Brock High School. And we have been buddies pretty much ever since. I'm going to have to send old Ryan a text here shortly because we're going to be talking about this. He joined me for a couple of podcasts as we drove home from Dynamite and this event. We had the main event here of Forbidden Door, Okada versus Danielson. First off, the start of this event, I was talking to the people that were sitting in my section, and I just said, I have a hunch that we're going to hear the final countdown tonight. No, that was Danielson's entrance theme in Ring of Honor. Like, I think we're going to hear that, because now that I heard that this is main eventing, what better moment to kick it off than that synth intro that leads into If I try to do that anymore, Europe might be after my money. So, wow. And every, like, I was filming it and people were like, man, good fucking call, man. You did. And I'm telling Ryan, like, hey, who called it? Who called it? Come on. Pay me. Pay me, Tony Khan. And another shout out to a couple of people who were also at Forbidden Door that I didn't know were there until after. Mr. Warren Hayes and Kyle from the Elite POV podcast. Would have been cool to hang with them, but having beers with Undead Meathead and Slack was also pretty cool. Click, clack, team Slack. Now, Okada versus Danielson, their match didn't start until just after 11 o'clock, maybe like 10 or quarter after. And I look at Ryan, I'm like, yeah, we know we're going to be in for a long haul. We're going to be in for a long drive back to Sable Beach. But this match and, you know, the whole rest of the event, it flew by and it had great pacing. And this match here, unfortunately, Danielson got injured in, but he was able to finish very well. See, Okada got a sliding dropkick and a big boot. Danielson gets a diving knee strike from the apron to the outside. We saw the flapjack, the DDT, and the air raid crash neckbreaker for a two count by Okada. Danielson going in to the archives and locking in the cattle mutilation, which I think I got on film because I was like taping portions of this match with my phone. Okada escaped that. You get the hammer and anvil elbow strikes, the shotgun dropkick. As Okada was attempting the Rainmaker, Danielson escaped it into a dropkick, locks in the LaBelle lock, but Okada reaches the ropes. You get Danielson delivered a penalty kick and a Bisaku knee to Okada on the outside, and then Okada catches him with a tombstone on the ramp. That one got a big pop out of my section. As Okada was attempting the Rainmaker, Danielson dodged it into another knee. And then Danielson gets a roundhouse kick. Okada immediately delivers a Michinoku driver and a Rainmaker for a two count. By the way, coin flip, one of the biggest instant wrestler pop getters out there, like glass shatters, like if you smell, or oh, Sean, or insert other wrestling intro thingy here. And then we had Okada getting a diving elbow drop onto Danielson's arm that legitimately fractured it, and the referee had to stop this just for a little bit. Danielson then delivered the Bisaku knee. Okada responds to the dropkick, but then we got a vicious looking LaBelle. It was an omoplata into a LaBelle lock, forcing Okada to tap out. And wow, just wow, this match. I watched it back on a completely legal stream of Forbidden Door. And it holds up. It really holds up. But man, these next two matches, this was the hard choice. Now, for the past 3 years on Fretz's Fave 5, or on my favorite matches, a certain man has been in each of my favorite matches since 2020. And that man is the Ring General Gunther, or Walter, whatever you want to call him. Number two, Gunther has been knocked off the top of the mountain. Down to number two. When he defended the Intercontinental title against Sheamus and Drew McIntyre during night two of WrestleMania. Now, years previous, Gunther has won my match of the year, including his match against Sheamus and his two monumental matches against current NXT champion Ilya Dragunov. This was my favorite match of the year, until I saw number one. So this would have won had I not seen the number one match on my list. You might already know what it's going to be now that this is one of number two. So, of course, you know, Gunther gets a... Did he get a special entrance at Mania? Did he get people, like, doing an opera sing of Gunther der General? Or am I imagining things? Or am I mixing something else up? Anyways. Beef. There's a lot of beef here. Oh. This match was meat. This is the match you do the meat chant to. Not Powerhouse Hobbs. No offense to him. But, nuh-uh. This match was beef. Meat. Whatever the chant is. Meat. It's the meat chant. So, you got Sheamus performing 28 beats of the Baldron on his former friend McIntyre. Gunther getting a powerbomb on McIntyre for a near fall. Sheamo doing the white noise off of the top turnbuckle on Gunther, followed by the Celtic Cross for a near fall. Sheamo goes for the brogue kick that McIntyre pulls his former friend out of the ring. Sheamo performs a bro kick on Drew for a near fall. McIntyre gets the claymore on Sheamo for a near fall himself. Sheamo performs the brogue kick on Drew, doing the classic I'm pressing A and B and no mercy bit. And Gunther gets control here. He powerbombs Sheamus onto McIntyre. And then another powerbomb on McIntyre himself to win this match. I mean, the spot where Sheamo almost had the match won, Gunther flew in out of nowhere with a diving splash. And then we got that powerbomb symphony. Eat your heart out, Wardlow. That is a powerbomb symphony. I mean, you're bombing one man onto another and then powerbombing the other man. A, disrespect. B, beast. And, you know, you wonder why that Gunther broke the Honko meter, why he is the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. And I think that record might not ever get broken. I'm not entirely sure. But this was my favorite match of the year. Until number one. My favorite match in wrestling in 2023 was one that I was also in attendance for. Yes, it took place at Forbidden Door. New Japan, AEW, Air Canada Center, because I refuse to call it the Scotiabank Place, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega for the IWGP United States Championship was by far the greatest match that I've ever witnessed in person. Mind you, I've only been to one TV taping, one pay-per-view, and two house shows in my life, but this match was a technical masterclass. This match was an emotional roller coaster. It was like 39 minutes and 45 seconds of near perfection. Kenny Omega in his home and native land in Canada, defending Canadian pride and honor against Will Ospreay, who pulled a Shawn Michaels with the Canadian flag during this match, you know, like picking his nose with it, doing the butt floss thing with it, and then marching around the ring and parading and mocking Canada. And then, of course, Kenny Omega just plows him with a clothesline. And this sequence made my section, which was 13 rows back from like directly from the ringside, floor seats. Shout out to Ryan for those tickets, by the way. Dude, just mwah. Jeff's kiss. Looking forward to the next time that we go, dude. I forgot where I was going with this. Yeah, it made our section started to stand up and sing O Canada. And I think it kind of resonated, at least on the floor seats where we were, because I could not hear it when watching this back. Like, I'll watch this match back like 3 or 4 times, and I couldn't find out where that we were singing the anthem, but I got footage of us doing it, and it was just, it was fun. It was the, you had to be there. It was really good. Of course, Kenny Omega's former manager, his former friend, the friggin' jackal himself, Don Callis. I almost forgot his name there for a second. I called him the fucking jackal. That's like 1997 shit right there. Yeah, Don Callis made his presence known here, bringing out a couple of heavies that Brian and I were convinced were the AOP. We swear to everything. We were swearing that that's Akim and Rezar. Akim and Rezar are all elite. Let's friggin' go. Eventually, the heavies and Don Callis, they all get kicked out. And then we just had spot after spot after spot. V-trigger to the barricade. DDT on the steel steps. We had Ospreay delivering a German suplex and a Spanish fly. I caught that on film. Mwah. Ospreay going for the Os Cutter. Omega counters that into a mid-air knee strike. Omega gets a pile driver for a near fall. Ospreay delivers a sky twister press, a lager bomb, and an avalanche Os Cutter for another 2 count. Omega delivers a couple of V-triggers. And then as he was getting the one winged angel, Don Callis threw a screwdriver in the ring, allowing Ospreay to spike Omega's head with it. Stormbreaker, but Omega's feet hit the ropes at the very last moment. And in the friggin' moment of the night, we had Ospreay getting the brainbuster. And then, just like No Mercy, pressing A and B, one winged angel on Kenny. And Kenny kicks out at one. The crowd, when that happened, lost their shit. They went bonkers. And it was from here on in, the crowd was hooked. I mean, the crowd never left our feet for a good chunk of this match, for this near 40-minute marathon. Hydrate yourselves, kids, by the way. Then we got Ospreay getting a spot that was deemed fairly controversial, depending on who you ask. The Tiger Driver 91, and the way that Kenny took that, yikes, ouch. But it was safe. He's okay, right? That's what should matter. If you're going to take a crazy-ass move or a crazy-ass bump, you better be ready to take it. And Kenny Omega, I mean, he's one of the goats for a reason. He sells very well. So he eats a Tiger Driver 91, a Hidden Blade, a Stormbreaker again, and Ospreay wins the IWGP United States Championship on Canadian soil, much to the delight of me, who was cheering for Ospreay, and the chagrin of the Canadian faithful, even flipping us all off in the process. You cheeky prick, Ospreay. And even cheekier, he rechristens this the UK Championship, and it's a title that he still holds to this day. Won't be for much longer, because Will Ospreay is going to be All Elite when his New Japan contract runs out next year, which, hey, good for you. I mean, it's an already bloated roster. I just hope you don't get kind of tossed to the wayside and forgotten about, you know, like a good chunk of the rest of the upper tier roster is. But I have hope for Ospreay. I really, I really do. Because I've been a big fan of his since, well, his run in Japan. I mean, earlier this year at Wrestle Kingdom, they also had a phenomenal match, I believe also for this same championship. Kenny Omega came out on top here, but we had a promo, a phenomenal promo, a emotional promo by Ospreay leading up to this, where it's just like, you listen to me here, don't you fucking belittle me, do you hear me? And he goes on this emotional tirade about, you know, wrestling during COVID and him having to watch his best friend's funeral on an iPad screen, which, holy shnikes, bro. Nuh-uh. Just no. I mean, I lost a family member during the whole situation, and yeah, not fun, but at least we got to say our proper goodbyes in geez. This match was perfect in my mind. It's the great, I think it might remain the greatest match I'll ever see live for a long time, because I don't know the next time I'm going to be going to see a wrestling show in person. It might not be till the next time AEW comes back to Toronto. Maybe it's at WrestleMania in a year or two or five. I don't know, but yeah, unsurprisingly, folks, you're not surprised that this won my match of the year, right? As much as I raved about it all year, as much as I raved about it while talking to Ryan on our Drive Home podcast in the middle of a lightning storm, this match had everything. It had the crowd in the palm of his hands. It had technical wrestling. It had high flying. It had hope spots. It had emotion. I mean, the beginning promo of this match, I mean, they drew down all the lights. And then you saw this thing, and it was like, it looked like CNN footage. It was like, violent protests are breaking out in Canada. I didn't hear the rest of it because the crowd was just like murmuring, and what the hell's going on? Like, are we under attack? Are we going to die? Ryan is taking a piss, and he comes back as everything was coming. I'm like, man, you got to see this. And we were driving to the city, and we saw some kind of protest out on the 401 or on the Don Valley that was kind of demanding justice for this person from the middle. I don't know what it was. I still don't know what it is or what it was. And we're like, is something going to happen here? And then it's just like, violent protests out of Canada from something. Then when it led into Will Ospreay's elevated, it's like, you again, you cheeky prick. He's one of my faves now, and I loved his little foray with Impact this year. He had a match with Josh Alexander, which was good shit. Would have made my honorable mentions, but yeah. So, folks, that's it for me this year. I will see you next year, continuing my series in the Latitude Era, continuing, you know, Cactus Jack going up to the Royal Rumble. We got Royal Rumble 2000 to look forward to. We got the Radicals to look forward to. We got Moolah and Mae Young. We got Mae Young giving birth to a hand. Next year is just going to be wacky on Fretzelmania, folks. So from all of us in the Fretzelmania Studios household, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Tet, Festivus for the rest of us, whichever holiday that you are celebrating this year. I hope that it is full of joy, full of laughter, full of damn good food, and spoiling your kids. And that it brings you blessedness and good times, positive vibes. That's something that we all need in the world today, folks. If you've listened once, thank you. If you've been riding with me since day one-ish, also thank you. If you've ever talked about my show in a positive or negative manner. Each their own. Also, thank you. I'm looking forward to next year on Wrestle Addict Radio. Say it with me, kids. The Cure for the Common Wrestling Podcast. Got some good stuff down the pipeline ready for you. So you can follow me on all the social medias at Fretzelmania. That's FRETZLE Mania. Also check out the rest of us on the network. Nate the Effin Greats, Race for Impact, Mr. YLP's Young Lions Perspective, both on hold, but keep an eye out for them in the near future. Kings of the Rings podcast, King Ricky and whomever he brings in on his on his show, be it myself or Smiley, who we've been both on recently, and God knows who else. So yeah, keep an eye out for that, streaming every Wednesday, going up every Thursday. And yeah, folks, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, Happy Holidays, TTFN, ta-ta for now, and as always, keep your stick on the ice.
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.